This is KUT 90.5. I'm Nathan Bernier. Now is the time of year when you can tell local government how it should be spending your money. Taxing jurisdictions are adopting their budgets for the next fiscal year, and among them is Central Health, the healthcare district whose mission includes eliminating health disparities. And that's a very big job because health disparities are quite large in Travis County, an area with a long history of segregation. Here's just one data point. African-American mothers in Travis County are more than twice as likely to have babies born at low birth weight than white or Latina mothers. And it's not just maternal and child health. The incidence of obesity, diabetes, cancer, and heart disease disproportionately affect communities of color. And that reflects what's happening nationwide. So what do we do about it? Dr. Jewel Mullen is the Associate Dean for Health Equity at the University of Texas Dell Medical School in Austin. Dr. Mullen, thank you for coming to KUT.
Thank you for inviting me.
How should we go about trying to eliminate health disparities?
Fundamentally, as people and as communities, as much as we want to eliminate inequities, what we're starting to understand is that the most important way of doing that is creating the conditions for people to be well. Families need to be able to pay their rent, buy food, clothe themselves. They need money, right? So that contributes to health. And I think I'll back up 400 years.
Please.
All right. Here in 2019, we're looking at the 400th anniversary of the arrival of slaves in Jamestown. And that very system of slavery was one which created power unevenness, less power, fewer resources, and fewer opportunities for people of color. Those systems then have created the conditions which we're still living in, but which the people alive today didn't create 400 years ago. So now, getting back to present time in Austin and Travis County, we have the opportunity through these initiatives to say, we can create our own positive future, understanding that the statistics that you cite, even if they reflect uneven and lower health status among people of color, affect all of us in society.
Can you expand on that? How do racial and ethnic health disparities affect everyone?
Probably the most glaring statistic for us in the United States that reminds us why this is an issue for everyone is that for all that we have, all of the kinds of riches that we have in our country, we can't say we have the riches of being the healthiest nation in the world. In fact, we're pretty low on the list. That affects all of us. And at times when people worry about the economy and healthcare costs, when you have to take care of people who are sick, we all suffer those costs. Employers, governments, families.
There are also, I want to get this in there, the costs of paying for uncompensated care in Travis County. Central Health, the hospital district that is now about to take public comment on their budget, they're spending millions and millions of dollars every year on uncompensated care, people who show up to emergency rooms and cannot afford that. And that's paid for by people who pay for the roof over their head in Travis County. Whether they're renting, they're paying it indirectly. Whether they're owning their home, they're paying it directly. But you were talking about economic prosperity contributing to health equity and how that economic prosperity has been unevenly distributed as part of the nation's history of institutional racism for at least 400 years. So what are the economic solutions that you see?
Where you live, where and how you can learn, where you work and the kinds of jobs you're able to do, where you play, all contribute to health, all have economic underpinnings as well. Can we afford playgrounds everywhere? Can we develop a workforce through our educational systems that really prepare people to take the jobs that are needed now? Even understanding that some of those jobs might require technical skills that don't require a college degree, at the same time that economic resources are necessary for those who need secondary, post-secondary, and even higher education for other kinds of work. And all of us who care about the health and well-being of people in our area have to remember that when we're looking for the solutions to the medical problems, collectively, we want to have people be healthier so that we're not just focused on fixing people when they're sick. Health begins before the doctor's office. Health can begin before somebody has a disease. And that's why you hear me so often talk about the conditions for people to be healthy and not just the solutions. That being said, access to care is important too.
Well, let me ask you about that. As someone who's practiced medicine as a primary care doctor on the front lines, what does that access to care do to the people who would not otherwise be able to get it?
Like so many other people who went to medical school, I said, I want to be a doctor because I want to help people. I worked in Massachusetts when we expanded health insurance for people. And at that point, I was the medical director of a neighborhood health center where you could come regardless of whether or not you had insurance. I will always remember the patient who walked in and said to me, I just got insurance, and now I feel like I deserve to come here. And he had a lot of medical problems. But before then, he didn't feel that he could even go and get them taken care of. So when I think as a primary care doc about what I do and what I've seen, for me, it starts with having people know that there's someplace that they can go to even address their illness and address what else they need so that they can stay healthy. The other thing that I have actually focused on a lot is helping people understand that for all the advice I give them, I have responsibility for them, but they also have personal responsibility. And I say that very comfortably, understanding that some people think that's a code for something. The system that we set up as primary care docs is one in which we want to be partners in patients' care. And that partnership, it means also being non-judgmental so that individuals can say, you can give me all this medical advice. Thank you for telling me to go eat healthy food. Thank you for telling me to go and exercise. Do you know what my day is really like?
And that goes back to the economic circumstances you were talking about that they find themselves
right in.
It's one thing to tell people, eat fruits and vegetables, exercise, but that can be a very challenging thing to accomplish if you're working long days just to put food on the table.
That's exactly right. And that's why we can recognize the impact of not having resources, because that's what 400 years of inequality is about. It's not a political movement. It's a social movement. It's a movement to build community strength, to maximize on the notion that communities can create their own positive future. And when that 400 years is tied to a history of slavery, then it gets put in the context of institutional practice, like institutional racism. Being able to talk about those positive futures means being able to talk and hear those words without hearing blame or anger, and instead saying, here's our opportunity to create our present and our future, understanding the context of the past, and not be stuck in the past.
Dr. Jewel Mullen is the Associate Dean for Health Equity at the University of Texas Dell Medical School in Austin. She'll be talking about this issue at the Healthier Texas Summit presented by It's Time Texas and the University of Texas System on October 17th and 18th at the AT&T Executive Education and Conference Center. Dr. Mullen, thanks so much for coming to KUT.
Thank you.